Well, this morning we're going to, we're in the middle of a series, but this message is not part of the series. So this is your commercial. This message, actually, it goes back. I gave a message about worship, and I gave a message about forgiveness. And this message sort of fits really well with those two, and it'll make sense as we go through it. The title of the message, and there's only one slide, so get used to that picture. Get used to that picture. Because that picture, if you actually, I could just let you look at that picture, and I guarantee you, you'll have hope before you leave today. Yeah. You will. You don't even need my words. That picture will give you hope, because the Holy Spirit's embedded in there, and He's releasing it. But the title of the message is, How Will He Find You? How will He find you? How will God find you? Where will God find you? And it sort of stemmed a few weeks ago. I woke up, as I always do, right? But that particular morning, I was just thinking about a lot of issues going on in my life. And I wasn't stressed or anxious, but I was just concerned. I was just thinking, like mulling over those things. And I sat down to connect with Jesus. And what I felt like He said was, Mary has chosen the better way. The best I can hear in the Spirit, Mary has chosen the better way. So I was like, okay, God, you're getting my attention. And so that obviously reminds me of Mary and Martha, Luke 10. And so I'm going to read that real quick. If you have your Bibles and you want to open to it, you can. Luke 10, verse 38. It says, Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to Him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And so Jesus found Mary at His feet. She was receiving truth. Life, just in His presence. He found Martha concerned about a lot of things, feeling alone, responsible, somewhat frustrated. That's where He found Martha. That morning, Jesus found me preoccupied and concerned about many things, right? I just woke up, and that's how He found me. That's how He encountered me. In my time with Jesus that morning, He shared to me that He cared about everything that Martha cared about. Everything that she cared about that day, how the table was set, how things were served, how people felt when they came in the house, all the things that she cared about, Jesus cares about. And then He showed me that He cared about everything that I was caring about that morning. Every detail. Every area, every issue, everything that I was facing, right? He really, really cares about it. And He invited me to sit at His feet and just place control at His feet. Because what I was inviting myself into or being tempted into was to pick up control and say, I got to control these areas of my life. And He was just saying to me that morning, He says, will you just lay control at my feet and just sit with me? To position myself to receive, to rest, and just to know that He cares. Simply. And so how will He find you? How will Jesus find you? Or God, right? Father God. Gideon was hiding in a wine press trying to survive the Midianites when the angel of the Lord came and found him. King Saul was hiding in the baggage, scared to death of his assignment. Daniel was worshiping and praying to God at his window for everyone to see. Jonah was running the other way. Peter was working and exhausted. Nathaniel was under the fig tree. We don't really know what he was doing. The woman at the well was avoiding ridicule and scorn. The man at the tombs was out of his mind. Lazarus was dead. Saul, Paul, with zeal for God, was on his way to eradicate and imprison followers of Jesus. How would God find you if he encountered you today? Like I said at the beginning, this is not part of our Psalms of Ascent series. But if you go back to the message that I gave about worship, how will God find you in your affection towards him this morning? Do you have other lovers this morning? Are there idols in your life? Go back, think about that message. If you're visiting, sorry, you could always listen to it on the podcast. In the message about forgiveness, how will he find you in your relationships with others this morning? Is your heart clean? Right? Both in the past, with people, present, even as you think about the future, is your heart clean in all of your relationships? Right? The scripture says, love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, right? The greatest commandments is really that simple and that complicated. And yet, when you think about worship, right, is he your lover? Is he the one you love? Are there other things that you give that place of affection and tenderness, right? And when you think about loving your neighbor as yourself, right, and all those relational dynamics that get tricky as we do life, right, is your heart clean and pure in those connections this morning? As God encounters you today, how does he find you? In Luke 18, verse 8b, it says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Right, and obviously the context of this passage has to do with prayer and consistently and persistently sort of looking to God. But I think the scope of that question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth, is much bigger. Right? What does faith really look like? And so when Jesus comes, will he find you, will he find me, still believing the truth about who he really is? Will he find you believing the truth about who he is in you? It's not a rhetorical question. Is it evident in how you live day to day? Is there evidence when you're alone? Nobody else is watching. Is it evident? Is it evident in your interactions with other people? Right? Think about this past week. Think about all the interactions. You probably had thousands, right? Hundreds at least of interactions with different people. Would it be evident in all of those interactions, right, the truth about who Jesus is and who he is in you? Will he find you believing what he has said about you personally and your mandate, purpose, and destiny? Let me explain what I mean. So I'm going to give you an example from my own life. That's not new. You guys know me, those who've been here for a while. But in our walks with Jesus, he reveals himself and he speaks to us and he guides us, right? So he says, my sheep know my voice, to his disciples. And we believe that, right? That we can hear the voice of God. We're created to hear his voice. We hear it well. And obviously we're learning and we're growing and he's teaching us and guiding us. But that's sort of a core value that we have. And so as I've been walking with the Lord for over 30 years, I've pursued Jesus and I've pressed into him. And I've sought the words that he would speak to me about my life. And I've heard many, many things. And one thing that I've heard has to do with creative miracles. And I believe God wants to release creative miracles in Sonoma County. Now, he has released creative miracles in Sonoma County. There's testimonies after testimony after testimony. But it seems like in this current season, there's sort of, it's not as frequent and often as we expect, right? Based on our belief in who God is and what he declares that he will do, both personally, him, but also through us. this is a word that I've heard about what he wants to do. You don't necessarily have to believe it. Does that make sense, right? I'm not creating a new doctrine about what God's going to do in Sonoma County. You get to decide if you want to partner with that or not. The extension that I feel like I've heard that's personal is I believe God wants to release creative miracles in Sonoma County through me. That's what I've heard from him. And so the strategy that he's given me, when I asked him, well, how do you want me to do that? He told me, stop for the one. Very simple. If you follow Heidi Baker, she does that in Mozambique, right? So it's not a new message, but it's the strategy is not to throw a big campaign at the fairgrounds and to do this or that or the other. The strategy that he gave to me is stop for the one. The message is a very simple message to share with the individuals that I stop for. It's that he sees you, he knows you, and he loves you. It's a very simple message. And the promise that I feel like I've heard from the Lord as I do this is that individuals will feel loved, that they'll be healed, saved, and delivered, and God will be glorified in the land. Right? Again, this is just, it's my personal dialogue with the Lord. And so faith for me in this area of life is saying yes to this word and living in a manner that demonstrates my convictions regarding it. Like if I didn't believe it, or if I said I believed it but never went out and prayed for people, never stopped for the one, how much faith do I really have? Not a lot. Does that make sense? Right? It's so simple. In the past, I've stopped for many people over the years, but in the past, so I'll go back, it's probably about a month and a half now. So I wrote this message before vacation. So a month and a half, I was at the post office, and it was early. They're waiting, people line up at 9 o'clock to get into the post office downtown. And so I was just going to check our post office box, and there was a man standing outside, and I noticed that he had a patch over one of his eyes. And so anytime I see evidence of a need for a creative miracle, it gets my attention. And so the man was just standing there. I went in, I put my letters in the box, I got my stuff out of my P.O. box. I came back out and I said, hey, sir, I noticed the patch on your eye. And he acted like he didn't hear me. And I was like, oh, curious. So I said it a little louder. Hey, I noticed, right? I got his attention. And what he shared with me is that he says, I'm partially deaf. And so here's a man, he's missing an eye and he's partially deaf. And so I got eye to eye with him, right? And was able to communicate to him, asked if I could pray for him. And he was like, please. And so right there in front of the post office, just prayed for a new eye, prayed for restoration to his hearing. His countenance was transformed. He got a big smile on his face. He felt peace. He felt love. He didn't get a creative miracle in the moment. But in that place, something happened to him in the stopping that somebody would recognize him. Right? Somebody would say, you're important, you're valuable. A couple weeks ago, I was on a prayer drive that I do every week, and I just happened to see, as I was on one of the streets, a man who was missing his left leg was getting into a van. And so I pulled my car over, and I had to walk back to where he was. And when I got to the van, you couldn't see anybody. Right, and it was a van that obviously someone's been living in, and so it was packed with stuff. And so I go up to the window, and I'm trying to look in to see, is he still in there, right? Where is the guy? And so through the front passenger side window, I'm looking into the back of the van. And I said, sir, I just wanted to say, I noticed you when I was driving by, that you're missing your left leg. And he said, yeah. And I said, would you be open for prayer for a creative miracle for that this morning? And he said, I would love that. And so he never got out of the van. I don't know what he was doing in the back of the van. It felt a little shady. But right there through the passenger side, just released prayer for a creative miracle for this man. And ultimately that he would know that he was seen and loved by God. Right? His name's Scott. The first guy's name was Mark. I don't know if I said that. But this guy's name is Scott. He has a name, has a story, has a life. God knows every detail about his life. Last Sunday, it was either Saturday or Sunday, Jesse wanted a milkshake, my youngest son. And guess what? You go to the fridge, you got the ice cream, there's no chocolate syrup, right? That's a bad day when you're 12 years old. Right? He's like, well, how come there's no chocolate syrup? So being the nice dad I am, I was like, okay, I'll go to the store. So I go to the store, and I go to a store that I don't usually go to because it's closer to my house, but I went there. And as I get to the section, looking around, trying to figure out where they have chocolate syrup, I find it. And right as I'm going to grab my chocolate syrup, I see a man with a brace on his leg, something like I've never seen before. It was the weirdest contraption I've ever seen. And so I just started a conversation with him. Say, hey, I noticed you have a brace on your leg. And he says, I said, well, how did that happen? And he said, well, I got shot in my shin, and it shattered my shin. And I've had to have 2 or 3 surgeries so far, and they're trying to reconstruct it. He says, you know the movie Forrest Gump? They're trying to do something like that to my leg, and it's not working very well. And he says, I have another procedure that's coming up. Anyway, I ended up talking to the guy for 5 or 10 minutes and just connecting with him. His name's Richard. And so I asked him if I could pray for him. He says, please. And the funny thing about Richard was that after we prayed, it was like he didn't want me to leave. Like he wanted to walk with me. And so as we were going, like I said, yeah, isn't it funny? You know, here I am. I'm just getting chocolate syrup for my kid. He's like, yeah, I'm here getting ice cream for my wife. And I'm like, okay. And I was like, you have all places, right? But it was that simple. And so he wanted to walk with me all the way to the checkout line and just stay in conversation. And so part of that just showed me that he was desperate for love and that something in the midst of that encounter, obviously a leg didn't grow out and he didn't walk out of the store. But there was faith in him like I didn't see in the other two men, just so you know. There was something about Richard that his faith was present in a real way, that there's something to this. And anyway, all that being said is, those are 3 examples of me saying yes. The reality is, probably 3 weeks ago, I was on 3rd Street driving down the road, and I saw a man crossing the street with an amputated left leg, and I didn't stop. I just kept driving by. I noticed him, but I didn't stop. What are the words God has spoken to you? Personal. What's the mandate on your life? What's your destiny? What are the specific things? Not just for the whole body of Christ, right? That's important too. But that's really personal for you, what he's called you to do. Are you still attaching faith to them? Are they in a box somewhere on the shelf, right? I got a call from my mom yesterday. This is not in my notes. But so my mom, she keeps everything, right? She keeps all this stuff. She's not a whatever. But she keeps all stuff when we were little kids. So now she's going through her house. And so she's got boxes and boxes of papers of things that we did, accomplishments and whatever. And so yesterday she's telling me, she's like, do you remember when you went and saw the Pope in Colorado? And I had gone on this thing, I don't remember, so many years ago, John Paul II. And anyways, he just got his new little Pope mobile. But I had a friend, I was in campus ministry, and I had a friend who's strong Catholic. I grew up Catholic. And we felt like we were supposed to go on this pilgrimage to Colorado and to see and be a part of what was going on. There's thousands of people that were there. And it was amazing. So here my mom, she has these tickets from that thing. Anyway, all that being said is it's tucked away in a shelf somewhere. I'm not even thinking about that experience. God used that experience in my life to help shape my faith. I didn't plan on that. I didn't know that was going to affect me. But even that affected me in my journey to become the man that I am today in the faith, right? All that being said is, are the things that God has spoken to you in a box on a shelf somewhere? What has he said about your mandate? What has he said about your giftings? All of us have giftings, right? every single one of you, everybody listening on the podcast, you have giftings. They're unique to you. What has he said to you about loving those in your sphere of influence, personally? What has he said to you about loving your enemies, personally? And what scriptures are life verses for you, and how do they propel you forward in life? And what does faith look like for you, given the words God has spoken to you about you, like with me in Creative Miracles? And how do you know you're being faithful or not with what he has entrusted to you? Like, I can't answer that for you, just like you can't answer it for me. But between you and the Lord, you know, are you being faithful to everything that he's called you to do? Everything that he's declared about who you are? The kingdom of God is advancing. You guys believe that?
Yes.
Yeah, even in the midst of the chaos that we live in, the kingdom of God is always advancing. And as followers of Jesus, we all have a part in the process, right? We're different and unique. And yet, there's ways where God has invited us into greater levels of authority in different areas, right? For some of you, it's intercession. For some, it's evangelism. For some, it's being a missionary. For some, it's service or being a spiritual mom or spiritual dad. For some, it's creative innovation, right? Addressing bigger issues and things with creative ideas from the throne room. Some, it's encouraging. Some, it's an author, writing books or writing things. Teacher. Some of you, it's being a giver, walking in generosity. Obviously, you could go on and on. But with whatever areas or areas you identify, would you say you're being faithful in those areas? And what would God say if he encountered you today? What would he say? And so I think that your view of God probably determines how you would answer, right? Because walking in the fear of the Lord is not being afraid of God. You guys know that? I believe walking in the fear of the Lord is having a right perspective of who God really is. Knowing who he really is, knowing his heart, knowing his power, knowing his authority, right? But knowing his love. And so if you're afraid of God, then the question I just asked could be a very scary question, right? And if you have a critical bent, then you probably say that you're failing miserably because you fail miserably at everything you do. Is that God's heart? If you wrestle with pride or you're afraid of becoming prideful, you will probably embrace false humility and paint yourself as not measuring up. That's the right thing to do. But the truth is, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And I believe if you're honest with yourself, and you allow the Lord to search your heart, that you probably would say that sometimes you would be found faithful and sometimes you would not. Just like me, right? God is your champion. Is that the God you know? A God who champions you, fights for you? And this same God, he put a mandate on your life. He gave you gifts, talents, and abilities, and a destiny just because he loves you. He made you uniquely you because he loves you. And like a father who moves sharp objects out of the way when your child is learning how to walk, or who runs alongside of you when you're learning how to ride a bicycle, right? Father God, I believe, is always looking to celebrate you. He has your best interest in mind. And let's go back to the individuals I listed in that list of characters from Scripture. Gideon saved a nation. King Saul became Israel's first king. Daniel was rescued from the lion's den and gained prominence in the land. Jonah was saved from the belly of a fish and saved a nation from destruction. Peter became a fisher of men. Nathanael became one of the 12 disciples. The woman at the well became a powerful spokesperson for Jesus, and many came to believe in Jesus because of her testimony. The man at the tombs received a sound mind and changed a whole region with his testimony. Lazarus, he was raised from the dead. He had a cool testimony. Saul Paul became a zealous follower and advocate for Jesus and the gospel. Who are you becoming? You're becoming somebody. Who are you becoming? The truth is that God is with me even when I drive by the man with the amputated leg and keep on going. Just as much as when I stop for Mark or Scott or Richard. It's the same God. Right? And I believe our walk with Jesus is a journey of yeses and nos, and that God's love for me doesn't increase when I say yes or when I say no. His love is the same when I say yes and when I say no. I don't think his love changes for you either. But I do believe God celebrates when I stop for Mark and Scott and Richard because he's attracted to faith. The God we worship loves faith. He loves it. And he loves seeing his children walk in greater measures of their purpose for being created. I get that as a dad, right? If you have children, I don't know about moms. I'm not a mom. I'm a dad. As a dad, I love when my kids, I see them walking in what they were created to walk in. There's nothing like it. And this morning, depending on how you're sitting with this word, right, how it's hitting you, it's not too late to reattach faith to the words that God has given you. You're not disqualified if you're feeling disqualified in any way, shape, or form. From the Father's perspective, you're not disqualified. And so I encourage you to run the race in a manner of winning the prize. Right? And I believe God is running with you. You never run alone. I never stop alone. Whenever I stop, I never stop alone. God's right there by my side, right? For whoever it is that I'm running into. And I believe God's grace empowers you and me to keep going. And so I encourage you to receive his grace afresh this morning. Yeah. It's always being poured out for you and for me. Yeah. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for the company that's gathered here today and anyone who will hear this message on the podcast. And I just give you glory for who they are, who you created them to be. And the mandates on their lives, the specific gifts, talents, and abilities that you said, I'm going to put that in this one. The dreams and the hopes, the ambitions, the destiny that's on each of their lives. Every single one is highly significant in your eyes. There's none that are greater or lesser, that they all are highly favored. Yeah, and you champion each one. And Lord, I pray that today, in the midst of this message about faith, and will you find faith on the earth when you come, I pray that you would allow us or enable us to access more of your grace in the day-to-day. And grace, even as we hear this message, as we hear these words, and the way that the enemy wants to tweak them or derail them to make us look at ourselves in a bad light, I pray that we would be honest before you but we also would be able to see you for who you really are, and to see that your heart is on towards us, and that you created us with purpose and destiny, and that you're the one who champions us to accomplish those things. And you equip us with the resources we need to do it, and then you also invite us into the more. And you let us say yes or no. Thank you that you give us that ability to choose. And I pray for, just an increased grace on everybody who can hear the sound of my voice this week. As you go back and you look at who you really are, as you be honest with God and you sort of look at the things that he's called you to do, and that in the places that you've been faithful to celebrate, and in the places where you've sort of shelved it, to dare to take it off the shelf again, to dust it off and to examine it again and say, I'm going to dare to believe again that this is who I am. This is what I was created for. And I'm going to step back out into that arena, no matter what's happened in the past, because I want to attach faith to what I've heard from God. And we just ask for your grace in that way. Yeah. And we thank you for what you're doing and what you're releasing in our lives. And Lord, would we be a company of people that you would always find full of faith? Yeah. It's our heart's desire. It's our heart's cry. And Lord, we know that you run with us, you walk with us, you guide us and lead us. And I pray that that you would take this word and you would utilize it to accomplish all that you desire for each person who's hearing it. Yeah, you know their lives and you know their story. And you know the timeliness of this word in this season, in the scope of their whole life. And we ask that you would just... like that little picture on the screen, you would add the rays of sun that come to give it the warmth that it needs and the nutrients from the ground below that help this small little thing become something that flourishes and is beautiful and grows. And so we ask for just your outpouring, Holy Spirit, Jesus and Heavenly Father, would you come and meet your sons and daughters in powerful and significant ways this week, and that this would be one of the best and most amazing weeks of our lives as we partner with heaven to advance your kingdom and see you glorified in the land. And we just ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.